because of that, from a retail investor perspective, that's where the opportunity lies, is the potential money flow that when these managers are able to invest in cannabis stocks, there's an opportunity to provide a lift for the group when they come into the sector, because they're not there now. So that's something that I want everyone to realize, is that the very retail dominated stock market is very retail dominated, especially here in the US. And because of that, I'm very optimistic of the future for the group.
From MJ Bulls Media, it's the Raising Cannabis Capital Show.
Raising Cannabis Capital, we are continuing this year's Cannabis Investor Series with Matt Markovich, the Managing Director of the Cannabis ETF, THCX. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here, because the Cannabis ETF, THCX, a lot of letters, is unique for a number of reasons, and I want to discuss and talk about all of those reasons. I also want to take a deeper dive into the cannabis public markets. But before we do that, you're the only ETF in this year's Cannabis Investor Series. So can you quickly explain how a cannabis ETF works?
Sure. Again, thanks for having me on here, and to all the listeners for tuning in here. So an ETF stands for Exchange Traded Fund, and it's a portfolio of publicly traded companies that attempts to give investors exposure to legal global cannabis industry. Now, why do I say legal? When we launched this fund in July 2019, the SEC was very clear about none of the cannabis ETFs that trade in the United States owning stocks that are plant touching. So in other words, no multi-state operators, Green Thumb, Cresco Labs, Curaleaf, Trulieve, et cetera, some of the larger MSOs that folks might be familiar with. So at this time, we are not able to own that. But part of the other stipulation is that we're only allowed to own stocks on five exchanges around the world, that being Australia, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the Toronto Stock Exchange, and the Toronto Venture Exchange.
Okay.
So if a stock is not listed on any of those exchanges, we are not able to own it. By default, means that the MSO that I mentioned, they're not able to list on those exchanges.
Okay. Just a follow up on that one. You can invest in plant touching publicly traded companies that are on the Toronto Stock Exchange?
Correct. So if it's Toronto or it's the TSX or the TSX Venture Exchange up in Canada, then we are allowed to invest in those companies.
Okay.
If a company trades on the CSE, which a lot of the MSOs trade on the CSE, the Canadian Securities Exchange, we are not able to own those stocks because they also trade OTC in the States.
Okay.
So those are the over-the-counter market, and ETFs are not allowed to own over-the-counter stocks.
I think a lot of people had a bad taste in their mouth about the public stocks, but do you think now is the right time to get back in?
Is a better time to start establishing a position. I'm not saying going all in, but any investment, you shouldn't make that investment all at once, right? It should be more of a gradual allocation. Valuations are more reasonable relative to growth expectations, both in Canada and the US right now. But in risk assets, of which cannabis stocks are probably the most risky, they tend to get thrown out with the bathwater when other risky assets get sold off.
Yeah. And you didn't even really mention the COVID effect. It's there. It's always there. How has it impacted some of your companies?
What I find just a little perplexing is that you're talking about an industry that for years was living in the shadows, to an extent still is in the US. It's been made a legal industry. Yeah. And all of a sudden, these businesses get deemed as essential.
Yep.
In other words, they were allowed to stay open during this pandemic. It's really shocking that, again, when everyone's worried about, you know, airlines, obviously, hotels, malls, those companies have suffered greatly, yet there's the cannabis industry plodding along, just churning out record sales. And again, I still feel like investors just haven't taken notice.
It's almost inconceivable a year ago where you would say, you know what, we're going to say cannabis is more important than Disney. What are you talking about? You're going to shut down Disney World, but we're going to keep all the cannabis open. Let's talk about investors for a second. The nice thing about working with you is the liquidity aspect of it is that you can buy your stock in the morning and sell it in the afternoon. So there's not that long-term commitment. But the other thing that I think I know is that you also provide dividends.
Correct. Yeah, we actually pay a dividend, which I know might be a little head-scratching to investors. The fact that a cannabis ETF distributes income where 95% of our companies aren't even profitable. So how are we able to do that? That's the real question. There's a strong desire from institutional investors and retail investors as well to short cannabis stocks. So in other words, they're betting that the cannabis stocks will go down. In order to short stocks, though, you need to actually go out and borrow them. So there has to be someone who's a long holder from whom you go and borrow the stocks. We are a long-only vehicle. So short sellers will come to us to borrow stocks so they can short them. And the fund charges a rate to those investors to borrow stocks on an individual basis. And we take those revenues that are generated from lending, and we return the overwhelming majority of them to shareholders in the form of a dividend. I will say that the desire to borrow cannabis stocks has waned over the past 2 months, which actually leaves me feeling fairly optimistic about the industry's future. Getting back to sort of your original question, is now a good time to get in? The fact that we're seeing less demand to borrow or short cannabis stocks is very encouraging. For as long as we've been running the fund, 14 months now, we've not seen this type of drop off in demand from here. But again, that is something that I think a lot of investors maybe aren't aware of or overlook, is the fact that the demand to short cannabis stocks is definitely lower now than it was a year ago.
Yeah, see, that's a really good sign, I would think. And if, especially for our listeners right now, that's a real good tip for everybody that they wouldn't have otherwise known. We're going to wrap this up now, but I will have the link to Matt's website. And if anything you want to know about the cannabis ETF, THCX, it will be in the show notes. So if you want to follow up with Matt afterwards and talk offline with him, I'm sure he'd be happy to discuss this further with you, because there's just so much more that we could talk about with you.
Yeah, we could go down the rabbit hole. I do want to end, though, Dan, with sort of a couple interesting numbers. Currently, only around 9% of publicly traded cannabis market cap is owned by U.S. institutional investors. That compares to around 68% of the Russell 3000, of the S&P 500 stocks are owned by U.S. institutional investors. So there is a very low penetration of any big asset manager. You can kind of name it: American Century, BlackRock, Vanguard. These firms do not have many cannabis stocks as part of their portfolios. And because of that, from a retail investor perspective, that's where the opportunity lies, is the potential money flow that when these asset managers are able to invest in cannabis stocks, there's an opportunity to provide a lift for the group when they come into the sector, because they're not there now. So that's something that I want everyone to realize, is that it's a very retail dominated stocks market. It's a very retail dominated, especially here in the US. And because of that, I'm very optimistic of the future for the group.
Oh, I'm glad you left us with that, because I think that's really important. Because of the volatility of the cannabis public stocks, I think people are just a little wary of it. But to your point, the reason that there is so much volatility is because 91% is retail. So there's no backstop.
You got it. Think about it like in the context of an Amazon or an Apple. If Amazon or Apple is down 10% over the course of a few days, there's always some marginal institutional buyer that's ready to sit there and say, you know what, down 10%, this move's not justified. I'm going to add to my position. There is no institutional backstop, by and large, from a U.S. investor perspective for cannabis stock. It's not there. That will change at some point. I'm not saying that 9% goes up to 68 or goes up to 80% like other large cap stocks or an overall U.S. market. But even if that's a double over the course of 2 years, that's a significant amount of money that will come into the space.
Like I said, we'll let people talk to you offline. You can continue this conversation. Matt, great catching up. Thanks for all this information. I'm sure people are going to be interested to learn more about cannabis ETFs. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
99.9% of our DNA is identical. It's a 0.1% that truly makes us different and unique. And that's what the show is about. Find out that 0.1% about your favorite guests. Find out what music they like, their first cannabis experience, and even what their room looked like growing up. But more importantly, or as important, their journey. Learn what makes them unique on Everything Is Personal.